20. And this whole series is based on that this has been one of the craziest years on record, but yet we still can find things to be thankful for. Can everybody say amen for that? So thanks 2020, and today's message is called For the Reminder. The year 2020 in review, I'm just going to give you a quick one. This is not the whole year. I'm just going to give you what we have so far. We've had some stars who have passed, both musicians, actors, and athletes. I'm just going to give you a few. When we lost Kobe and Vanessa Bryant, it shook the world. I mean, it really caught the athletic world by storm and just everybody else's hearts. Sean Connery, one of the latest 007s that just recently passed. Some great musicians, Eddie Van Halen and Neil Peart, passed away this year. Athletes, Gale Sayers, Whitey Ford, Lou Brock. Charlie Daniels of the Charlie Daniels Band passed this week. Chadwick Boseman, the Black Panther, Marvel Comics, passed away this year. And our beloved Regis Philbin. And that's just a few. That's just a few. If you go and Google it, it's just amazing how many we have lost this year. Then coronavirus, COVID-19 rears its head sometime in January and then full-blown in February. And we experienced sicknesses and deaths worldwide. We, as businesses, were forced to close worldwide. Travel was greatly and is still greatly affected. In fact, England and Europe is about to go into another lockdown. They're about to shut it all down again. We experienced, in a way that I think maybe the words were together before, but social distancing took on a new meaning this year, to the point where now we're all, we have our masks. We wear our masks where it's appropriate, and we have them with us at all times. In fact, I still will be almost all the way into a building and realize I don't have my mask. And I have to turn around and go back and get it. Working from home has become the new norm. In fact, the real estate agency that I worked with has actually closed two of her buildings because the majority of the real estate agents can do their work from home and do it even more effectively. One of the negatives maybe of it is creating even more distance in between human contact and relationships. So we're experiencing that as well. Wildfires around the world that have just had vast destruction upon many continents that has been going on and still going on. This has been a crazy, crazy year of politics. I mean, if not the craziest week of politics last week ever. And I just want to say this as a pastor. I want to briefly just hit this. Whoever our president is, and you can go back 4 years, 8 years, 16, you can just keep going back, and then you can look forward in 4 years and 8 years and 16 years. Whoever is the president of our country, I just want you to know that Harvest Assembly is going to pray for our president, okay? And here's the other thing is I know that there's some that are very elated of who is going to be president and others that have been hurt by this or maybe just kind of fearful of this. Just know this, God is still in control, that God is still on the throne. Come on, let's give the Lord a hand of praise for that. John 14:27 says, "Peace I leave with you, and my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives, and do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." 2021, we're going to walk in together as a church, as a body of believers, and we're still believing that God is on the throne. Amen. Let's get into this message. My wife and my daughter, Sky had come in to visit, so we had her friend Morgan, who's like our daughter. So these three ladies were in the kitchen, and they were just kind of talking about the year 2020, and that was the subject. And there was a lot of grumbling and some like, oh, I can't believe this happened and all this. And I was actually walking out to go upstairs and I hear my son, who really doesn't ever, get into the conversations with the ladies, but I heard him just walk kind of under his breath. He goes, "Well, 2020 was great to me." And guys, I stopped and I literally froze, like, listen, what I just heard. And I just went, he is absolutely right. I mean, it literally caught me off guard, not because I didn't agree with him, but because it reminded me that God has actually done some pretty cool things in our family in the year 2020. My daughter, just last month, paid off her car How many of y'all know the experience of paying off a car? It's an amazing thing. I mean, it made us feel good. I have a lot to be thankful for in 2020. Lori and I both do. Lori got a great promotion at the 700 Club as far as her being a producer. Obviously, me being here as pastor is a lot to be thankful for. I had medical reports that came back in April and May where the doctors were searching for all this stuff and there was nothing wrong with me. I praise God for that. So I have a lot to be thankful for. And I'm hoping that through this series, all of us will be able to look back on this year and see where God has showed up in our lives. Guys, listen, in his mercies. Think about when you think about in his mercies, the mercies of God. When we hear the scripture in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, where it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. What does it say? They are what? They are new every morning. Psalms 35 says, weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. That we would remember that how God has showed up in our lives in his love and compassion for us this year, in his protection, in his divine leading and placing us where we needed to be throughout this year. Things that needed to stop. Everybody hear me? Things that needed to start. God was with us this year. Hearing his voice above the noise and having his rest. Listen, if there's one thing that we can really be thankful for is there have been times in this year because of the lockdowns that we have got the rest that we probably all needed. Okay? Now, it also put on the COVID-15 and 20s. You know, in that rest. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So that, I don't know if I'm thankful for that, but maybe I am. That was good food during that time. We all need to be reminded that although this year has been quite a nuisance at times, and it has also been a great time of God's moves and awakenings. Everybody say awakenings. That's a powerful word, and we're going to talk about throughout these next 3 weeks. I want to look at the story of Joseph. I want to look at aspects of it, and I want to focus on one main part of the story. We're going to get into this, but I want to see where the things that he did and the things that he experienced that he would use to mark God's moving in his life throughout it. Just expanding on his life, we know this. We know that he was a favorite of Jacob's. We know that his brothers became insanely jealous and threw him into a pit. We know that he was then sold into slavery. We know that he also ended up at Potiphar's, where eventually his wife would accuse him of rape. We also know that he is imprisoned, and not just imprisoned, but he was imprisoned and thrown in to be forgotten. Pharaoh, what we understand is at some point when Pharaoh has a dream and Joseph interprets that dream and he begins to have this favor, but in Genesis 41, verses 41 through 45, we actually know that he gets so much favor from Pharaoh that Pharaoh puts him in charge of Egypt. Okay, guys, listen to this. He puts a ring on his finger. He dresses him in fine linens. He puts him upon his chariot and drives throughout the land and lets everybody know who Joseph is and who he is going to be, that he will rule throughout the land of Egypt. We also know that nothing will happen in Egypt unless Joseph says so. How many of y'all understand that's a lot of power? That's a lot of power. See, we don't do anything in our house unless Lori says so. I'm kidding. I'm not kidding. No, I'm joking. So Joseph, let me give you this. Joseph, if you want to say Joseph in Hebrew, it would be Yosef, okay? So Yosef, which means his name is this, the increaser, or known as Jehovah has added. But immediately Pharaoh also, so remember all the things that Pharaoh is given, just stay with me. Gives him the ring, gives him the clothes, puts him on the chariot, puts him in charge, says that nothing's going to happen unless he says so. But immediately, Pharaoh also gives him what? A new name. And expecting him, and listen to this and catch this phrase, expecting him to live and operate under it. Okay? So check this out. Genesis 41 through 45, he gives him this name. Now, I'm going to break this down for you. If you see his name, pop up there at the top. Now, when we read it, the English in us want to say Zaphnath and Paneah, right? That's how we see it. But this is how it's actually pronounced. Everybody say this with me. Sophnath, That is the Z part of that. That's Sovnath. It's almost Klingon. If you watch Star Trek, it's got a very Klingon feeling to it. And then the second part is Pa-Neok. Okay, so Sovnath, Pa-Neok. And which means this, the nourisher of two lands. A lot of translations on this, known as also the living one, the one who reveals mysteries. Some believe it means God speaks and he lives. And others, the treasury of glorious rest. Now see, listen, here's the thing. Joseph has already been named by his mother Rachel. We already know that what his name means, and Pharaoh was wanting to change that. Now, I know that he was wanting to change that in honor, but he was changing his name. Pharaoh wanted to change his identity, but what Pharaoh couldn't change was Joseph. Is everybody following me? He couldn't change the man. Pharaoh couldn't change who he really was. Through it all, Joseph remained, and we know this in Scripture, a thankful man. A man of integrity that endured the abuse of his brothers, endured being sold into slavery, falsely accused of sexual assault, and then imprisoned and forgotten. Through each trial, the Scripture says this in Genesis 39, 23, look at this. The Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made it succeed. Being thankful, church, being consistently thankful isn't always what naturally flows from us. In fact, it's easier very quickly that we can become a people of complaining or feeling dissatisfied and can rise up very quickly within us. Joseph, of all people, had every right to be upset, to be angry, to have a complaint before God, completely opposite of being thankful for the things in his life. But guys, check this out. He went from, remember this, from favorite to abuse, slavery, betrayal, and being forgotten. And even though this was his life, whether he wanted it or not, this is the year 2020, whether we want it or not. Okay? You never read of Joseph throwing a fit. You never read in the Bible of him taking a chapter to grumble. How many prophets do we read of in the Bible that took a chapter to grumble? Y'all know what I'm saying? And here is Joseph. He has every right to do so. He had every right to be somebody that could be angry, to have a complaint, but he doesn't. He never forgot who he was or where his faith came from. Take a look at the Scripture. And this is the one that I want to build the entire message upon. This is the basis of the message right here. Genesis 41, starting at 41 and 51. So Joseph named his older son Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my troubles and everyone in my father's family. Joseph named the second son Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. I love it that Joseph names his two sons. He makes them a living, breathing, lifelong reminder of the thankfulness to God. Look at these two things with me. First, Joseph looked back at what he just came through, and he wants to give thanks for God for being there all the time. So he says this, God has made me forget all my troubles. And it's okay to do that. It's okay to look back on your past, you guys. And I want to say it this way, that no matter what it is that we have endured or that we have had to walk through, what we've seen, it's good sometimes just to be thankful for God's grace. And again, listen, for his endless mercies. Give me an amen. New every morning, endless mercies. And listen, if you're going to talk about the past, let it be a time of reflecting on how God showed up for you and recall the blessings he poured into your life, his guidance, the direction that he gives us daily. Because when we spend too much recounting the negative, what will happen, and I promise you it will happen because it's happened to me in other times of my life, whereas if I think back on the negative and I'm always just kind of recounting that, I get stuck there. There's people, and I'm just telling you, there's people, not people outside the church, in the church that use their past as their crutch. That's how they get their sympathy. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? So we don't want to get stuck there. We want to be looking forward to what is next that God has for us. Give me an amen for that. Amen. Secondly, look at this. Joseph looks at where he is now. This is what he said in Scripture. God has made me fruitful in this land of my grief. Both of these moments are his way of giving thanks to God through the names of his sons. So look at their names. Manasseh, which means forgetting. Now we want to say Manasseh, and that's okay if you read your Bible. You can say it that way. And then you have everybody say F. Ephraim. Ephraim, which means doubly fruitful. Genesis 41, look at this. Here's another translation of what we just read. Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, which means to forget, saying, God made me forget all my hardships in my parental home. And he named his second son Ephraim, which means double prosperity, saying, God has prospered me in the land of sorrow. I've said this before, but I'm going to say it today, and I really want you to think about what I'm going to say. How many of you guys could use a little bit of double of something from God right now? And here's what I mean by this. How about just being doubly prosperous? Think about double anointing or double blessings. And let me give you this one because I know I've got this. How many of you could use a double healing? Listen, I got plantar fasciitis in my left foot that I know that I could get rid of, that I would love to have him get rid of. I think about sometimes when I wake up in the morning, my back's really tight. Listen, I've got a lot of things that go on in my body. And when I think about a double healing, it's not just the physical. It's God wants to come and he wants to heal us mentally, spiritually, emotionally. And how many of us could use that? Amen. And this is the Lord and this is what Joseph recognizes. He understands it. He understands where he is now and why he's there and who gave it to him. And he gives it to God. The enemy has tried to put us under a new name this year. Think about what I'm saying right here. He's trying to do it. He's tried to change our identity. He's tried to speak lies over us. And he has challenged the depth of our faith in this year. Expecting you, and here it is, listen to this. He's expecting you, the enemy, for us to live and operate under it. Isolated. He says you're fearful. He says you're forgotten. He says you're not needed. He says you're an angry person. He says you're hopeless, that your body is sick, that you're your own God. You can take care of yourself. And guys, this is a lot of people I know have lived under this one this year. He says you're gonna be jobless. This is not from Jesus. This is not from God. This is not God speaking to us. This is the enemy taking a year and trying to put this new name over us and expecting us to operate under it. This year might have been tough. It might have been an irritant or maybe the worst year in recent memory, but God knows exactly what you've gone through, where you are now, and what is still to come. This is the Lord that we serve. I choose to stand on what God's word says regarding 2020. And I'm going to give it to you. You are not alone. Psalms 56:8 says, you have taken account of my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not recorded in your book? Psalms 139:14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. You're not isolated. You're not angry. You are not forgotten. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You will always be enough. Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Sickness and fear, getting sick, the whole idea of getting sick just has to go in the name of Jesus. Listen, we're at some point we're all going to catch a cold. At some point, somebody that we know or that we are attached to is going to get COVID-19. But sickness does not rule and take over. It doesn't have to take over our lives because Jesus is still on the throne. Amen. Praise the Lord. James 5:15 says, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. Who does it say will raise them up? The Lord. We don't have to be God in this situation. We just give it to the Lord and he will raise us up. The devil does not have the authority to speak over our lives. He does not have the authority to hold us in a place of hopelessness. Choose. Everybody say choose. Choose to be thankful. Not only just choose to be thankful, but choose to be thankful in the year 2020. Find where God has showed up for you. Just to be able to say, thank you, 2020, for reminding me that I do need Christ more than ever. three reminders. I just want to look at this, that we do have so much to be thankful for in 2020. And the first slide is this. God is always with you. Always. Never leaves your side. Acts 7:9. Now this points back to the story of Joseph. So look at this right here. It says, and the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. I don't know if you guys do this, but like whenever I find a scripture in the Bible, I will actually go and grab my iPad or my computer or my phone, and I will Google. You can do this. Like say for instance, you take Acts 7:9. You can Google it. You can just say this right here. Acts 7:9, different translations. And what happens is it'll give you some sites where you can go and you can read this scripture in literally 20 to 30 different translations. And what happened was when I did this scripture, listen to what happened here. This is what was showing up. It would say the patriarchs, or it would say the brothers, or it would describe them as Jacob's sons. But in every scripture from top to bottom, no matter what the translation was, they all ended the same way, that God was with him. It doesn't matter what all of us have gone through this year. Listen, here's the thing. We have all seen and gone through and experienced different things in this year. But nothing. One thing that has not changed is that God was with every one of us in this room. He is big enough, great enough, sovereign enough that he can take care of every one of our issues in this room. Come on, praise the Lord. Psalms 139:7 says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? No matter how crazy or hard a season it might be in your life, God is always with you. I was reading a devotional. I was doing like a six-week devotional. I was doing a Daniel fast from, I don't know, mid-July into whatever it was. It was almost 90 days. And I was in a devotional for 6 weeks, or six sessions of it. And I got to this one. It was about a lady. She had wrote the devotional, and she was talking about that she had just given birth to their daughter. It was an eight-month-old baby, and her husband passes. The young couple, and she's describing in her devotional, she's talking about how we're about to walk into Thanksgiving and Christmas for the first time without my husband and without her daddy. And I'm sitting here reading this, and I'm kind of following where she's going, and I'm filled with, you know, of course, it's like, man, that's the most horrible thing that I can't even imagine how that would be. But as she continued to write, all she did was talked about how thankful she was that God was with her. Money can't do that for you guys. Family cannot do this for us. In fact, a lot of you might not like this, but the church actually can't do this for you. Only Jesus can. God can. The Holy Spirit can. We come here to be in his presence so that he can. Amen? So that he can move into our lives. We might know people who have experienced or are experiencing it right now. Great loss. Going through a horrible breakup. Maybe a failure, a moral failure. A loss of a job. Maybe stuck in addiction. And I'm not just talking about alcohol or drugs, but they're addicted. Or maybe they're just hurting. How can we? Let me just be pastor just for a second here. Let me just say this to us. How can we, the church, get better at representing Christ to the people who are lost and hurting? How do we do this? How can we be that church we're supposed to be for them? Well, Galatians 6:2 says this. Look at this. Carry each other's burdens. It means at some point, sometimes you guys, we're not just going and saying we're going to pray for you. Oh, I'll remember you in prayer or whatever. It's literally going and physically and spiritually sometimes, or let me say it, spiritually always, but physically sometimes we just have to carry their burden for them. That's the church. That's the picture of it. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another. And what's it say? Say it again. Say it out loud. That's something that I think the church can always get better at doing, is building each other up. Amen? We need to do this for each other. God is always with us, and that is something to be thankful for in 2020. Here's the second thought. His blessings transcend all moments of difficulty. Let me read it again. His blessings transcend all moments of difficulty. No matter what the restrictions are, when you look at the definition of transcend or transcends, it's talking about the ability to go past something that would try to put limitation or restriction on you. so that his blessings are going past us, no matter how thick the fog might be. Listen, I've heard people talk about a fog. I remember in my early years of ministry, people would talk about, I felt like I was stuck in a fog. And not until 2011 did I understand what that meant when I got trapped myself in a 3-year fog. Is everybody with me? When they say fog, I understand what it means. I walked out on my porch, clothed this time, and I was letting my dog go to the restroom, and I was sitting there, and I'm looking, and it was so foggy, I couldn't see our cars in my own driveway. I understand it. Alan and Kim were taking a boat. They go to our church. They were taking a boat across this part of a water to get to the other side, and they said that they literally got lost in it because the fog was so thick they couldn't see past the front of their boat. But think about somebody that's going through that spiritually. Think about where you could be somewhere that you can't see 2 inches in front of your face. You don't know what to do. You're trapped. You feel like there's nothing, but we know this, and we're going to talk about it some more, that his blessings go through this. It transcends it. It takes us past the fog we might be in. No matter the great time or loss or feeling isolated, no matter how powerful the times of fear we might have walked through, no matter what, Jesus is still at the right hand of the throne. He's still there. There is victory in the name of Jesus. Nothing, everybody say nothing. If God is intending to bless you, nothing can stop him from doing it. James 1:12 says, blessed. I know if you want to say blessed, that's fine. I'm going to say blessed. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Joseph should have died many times in his story. Think about it. He could have died in the pit. Brothers could have just literally said, we're not selling you slavery. You're just going to die in the pit. He could have died during the time of his slavery. He should have been executed after being falsely accused of sexual assault. They didn't mess around with that back then. They just execute you for it. When they threw him in prison, when it says that they forgot him, and that's what was going to happen, he was going to be forgotten, he should have died in prison, you guys. He should have died of a sickness. He could have easily been executed. We know that that happened to the baker in the story, right? So he could have died there. So in Jeremiah 17:7-8, it says this right here. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. And it is not anxious in the year of drought. It's felt like a year of drought, right? For it does not cease to bear fruit. Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. His blessings transcend all difficulties. 2020, thanks for the reminder, because I am so thankful. Aren't you thankful today? Third and final thought, nothing can hinder God's plans for your life. Isaiah 14:27 says, for Yahweh of armies has planned, and who can stop it? His hand is stretched out, and who can turn it back? Job 42:2 says, Job answered God, I'm convinced you can do anything and everything. And here's the word again, nothing and no one can upset your plans. Think about being able to say that I am convinced. Just think about being able to say that I am convinced that nothing or no one can change, redirect, take away, stop, or upset the plans of God that he has for my life. Being able to say it, but actually believe that you are. Romans 8:38-39 says, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you really are convinced that God has a divine plan for your life, no matter how tough or brutal a moment or year or a season might have been, you will always look to run to Jesus. When I was 6 years old, I had told you a little bit, we lived at this house where we had a really, really big backyard. It was a very small house, big backyard. We would grow watermelons and all this other kind of stuff. But behind it was this big field. The grass actually looked like something that a farmer would turn into hay. It was really high. And as a six-year-old, you could get lost in there. We'd play army. We'd play hide and seek. There was all kinds of things that we did back in there. But one day, my friend shows up with a box of matches. And we're out in the middle, and so we kind of tear some hay down or whatever, the grass, and put it in the middle, and we light it on fire, and it gets kind of big, and then we stomped it out. And we both looked at each other like, hey, man, that's pretty cool. You know, like, we're, like, totally excited. It was like an adrenaline rush. So we put some more in there. We lit it on fire, and we let it get a little bit bigger, and we put it out as fast as we could. But this time, I mean, it was like, I looked at him. I was like, man, we almost didn't get that out. You know, we were like the word, we didn't use tripping back then, but we were tripping. We were like, what in the world? So we did it again. This time, we couldn't get it out. And we're talking acres. And guys, I can remember it still to this day. My body was flooded with so much adrenaline, I couldn't even run, get my legs to cooperate with me to get to where I was trying to go. And guys, listen to this. The one person that I knew that I could run to, it was my father. But listen to this. I knew that the person that I was running to that was going to rescue me from this situation was going to discipline me, that I was going to be in a lot of trouble with, but I also understood that he was my refuge. Is everybody with me in the story? And, you know, of course, the fire department had to come in. We burned down like an acre or two. It was crazy, just grass. It didn't, like, hurt any homes or nothing like that, thank the Lord. But, guys, check out what I'm trying to say. He is my father. And if there's anything that we can be reminded of in 2020 is that no matter what's going on or what it's been, sometimes we do have to go to our God. We have to go to our father knowing that we might receive discipline, knowing that we might be in full conviction of doing it, but he is our refuge. Everybody say refuge. Say, I know who my father is. And that's who we run to. I was convinced that there was no one else I needed to run to or reach out to. Worship team, if you want to come on up. How much more do we all need to know and be completely convinced that God knows exactly what you and I need and that his plans cannot be hindered by a tough year or a season or a presidential election? He's God. He knows what's going on and he knows what he's doing. I am so thankful, God, that you have planned out my days, and I get to walk them out daily with you. Say these right here with me. Just say, I am convinced. I am convinced. Amen. Thank you, 2020, for the reminder. Now, I want to close this up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:16, it says this right here. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Guys, listen, Jesus hasn't even been revealed to Joseph yet, but yet he had already figured this out in God. Is everybody with me? He chose to release all the negative. He chose to release all the past evil done against him and made the decision to embrace what God planned for him. Listen to this thought and receive it. Because Joseph was able to let go and release it to the Lord, God was able to release to Joseph a time of double blessing. In July, this was before we knew Pastor Ray was going to step down. Lori was on a phone call with my daughter, Skye. This was early July. And Skye is telling Lori this prophecy or this word that my grandfather, who's 95 years old, spoke over me when I had taken her out there last year. And she just said to Lori, she goes, Mom, Dad needs to be back in ministry. And something resonated in Lori, and Lori came in the house, and she just sat down beside me, and she goes, Matt, she goes, I want you to know that it doesn't matter if we go to California, if we go to Texas, or whatever it is. She goes, I release you. Listen to the word. I release you in the ministry. I release you back. I want you to know that I will do whatever God tells us to do. And guys, here's the thing. Here's the thought behind this. Listen, I release what I have. This is me. This is you saying this. I release what I have, then God releases what he has for me. I release, and then God releases what he has. I release what I think is important, and God releases to us what he sees as important. Everybody make a fist. Take both your hands and make a fist and hold it. Hold it tight. And then I want you to release it. Do it again. Just make a fist, make it tight like you're about to punch something, and then I want you to release it. With your eyes closed and your heads bowed, what are we holding on to? What are we looking back at? Did we bring something into 2020, or did we experience something that has completely turned our lives upside down? I say, release it in the name of Jesus. And allow God to release on you a time of double blessing. God, we open up our fists and we release it so that we can walk into a time of double prosperity. We release it. I release it. Say it with your own words. I release it, God. In your own words, just say, God, I'm so thankful that you've met me in 2020. With every head bowed and eye closed, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for everybody that is here today. And we have all walked in here with different things. Different things that maybe we are concerned about. Different things that we are possibly walking through. And Lord, maybe it's kind of put up some blinders on us to where we haven't been able to fully recognize your presence during this time. But as we look to you now, God, as we turn our attention to you right now, Father God, let your Holy Spirit right now begin to speak into our lives. Father God, we are willing to release what we have. We are willing to give you our bodies, dear Lord, for healing. We are willing to give you our minds, dear Lord, to be cleansed or to be reset, dear Lord. Whatever it is, Lord God, we are giving it to you because you are our refuge. You are the one that we know we can run to. With every head bowed and eye closed, is there anybody that would be willing just to lift your hand and say, Pastor Matt, I need prayer. I need prayer. I'm walking through some stuff, yes, and I just need Jesus. I just need to know that Jesus is with me, yes. Anybody else? Yes, 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 yes. If you lifted your hand, I'm going to ask you to do something that, and if you're not comfortable with this, I totally understand. But if you lifted your hand and you are looking for the Lord to do something amazing in your life, I'm going to ask you just to, and bring somebody with you. Just come down to the altar. Just right now, just set your stuff down. Don't be fearful. Don't think that anybody, just come down. Come down and find a place just to be able to pray with the Lord as we worship. We have people, my wife and some others, dear God, that are ready just to come down and pray with you. If that's you, just come on down. Come on down and find a place. Just take a knee or just stand or whatever. And just, if you didn't raise your hand, you're thinking, now, I need prayer. I need to get before the Lord. I want to encourage you to come on down. My wife, Pastor Brad, Parker, Esther is going to come down and they're going to begin to pray with you. But let's just, as a church, if you're comfortable with this, let's all just lift our hands toward the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you, dear God, that you have been with us throughout this year. 2020, thank you for reminding us that we need Jesus more than ever. And so, Lord, we lift our hands to say to you that, God, we want you to reveal yourself to us. That, God, that we can say with our mouths that we are convinced, that we are convinced that you are always with us. That we are convinced that you are the Lord of Lords. That you are the Almighty God. God, I just pray that even as we lift our hands, that you would touch us and anoint us from head to toe with a double blessing, with double prosperity, with double anointing, dear God, with double healing in the name of Jesus. Everybody say it with me, in the name of Jesus. Say it louder, in the name of Jesus. Name of Jesus, we give you all thanks and praise as we just go into a time of worship. Just